Just thank you. You are always there. You have always been there, and you are there, and you will always be there for all the days of our lives. We thank you, Father, that you are a wonderful Father and a wonderful Savior. And we thank you, Father, that you keep us in your ways. And it's no longer we who live, but you and your life and your impartation within us that makes us what we are each day of our lives, that transform us. We thank you for today. That's one more day of glory for you. One more day to praise and to worship you. One more day to advance your kingdom. And with each passing week, we know, Lord, that your kingdom continues to advance in ways that we do not understand, by means that we cannot see. Yet you are advancing. You're advancing in our lives, through our lives, in all that is around us. Because it is your desire that your kingdom would come on earth, and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for your kingdom. Let the rule and reign of Jesus be upon our hearts and our minds and our lives this very day. Expand your kingdom within us and through us. Glorify yourself afresh in our lives. Cause us, O God, to know you afresh. And as your word is spoken, hide me behind your cross. And let only your voice be heard. Let only your word pierce into our spirits and our heart, dividing asunder bone and marrow, that we may hear the voice of the living God speaking to our lives. That we may know, Lord, that it is your word and not the word of man. That we may discern the work of your spirit in us. And as we sit at your feet to hear your word, we pray, Father, that your spirit will impart life, faith, peace, love, joy, and all that you know we need in our lives for that which is in front of each one of us. Thank you, Father, that we can climb every mountain, we can cross every valley, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. To you be all glory, worship, and honor. We give you all the worship, all the praise, because you deserve it. You made us, you live in us, you live through us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're talking about the three important things in our Christian life, and we have covered two, and each has its sub-points. And today's point is in the view of dealing with a lot of the issues of this life. And so we have, as usual, we have kept it simple, and we have three small little sub-points for today in facing the impossible, facing things in this life. And we finalize on the main topic for this as we go along. But the first little sub-point that we have in the important things in our Christian life for today is to realize that what God speaks to us and what God puts into our lives, as we begin to walk in them and apply them in our lives, as we begin to bring them forth as fruit and works that God has caused us to work and walk in this life, that there is a devil out there, that there are opposition outside there, and there are giants in the land of Canaan. There are things that we need to face. And sometimes in Christian life, we thought that, you know, we have a vision, you know, and we will go for, we will do it. But every time in the Bible, have you noticed that there is always a challenge? There are always giants in the land. When the Israelites first came out from Egypt, what were they doing? Like any humans would, who have been oppressed for four generations. They were a nation of slaves, knew no freedom. Their forefathers for four generations have been in that land, and probably for about two generations or three live in slavery. And so when they came out, like any human group of people would be, there were emotions, there was dancing, there was rejoicing. And you read about that in the book of Exodus, how they sang the song, "I will sing unto the Lord, for He is trying gloriously, horse and rider thrown into the sea." I mean, and they were dancing with cymbals, and all the ladies were jumping up and down, dancing, crossing over. But there were challenges in the land. First thing they faced, no water. Then no food. Then all kinds of trials, all kinds of things. The Lord promised them deliverance, and that was what they had. There will always be challenges. And when they face all those things, each time you read about a story, the Bible tells us 10 times. God says, "For 10 times I tried you." And they fail. They fail. Each time they face something, they complain. Each time they face something, they murmur. And thousands of them die. In the end, on the 10th time, they refused to cross the land of Jordan because they were giants. Every one of God's promises will be challenged. Every one of God's vision will be challenged. This life was not designed for lazy bumpkins. Float around like an amoeba, a giant amoeba. Just slogging along. His life is made with challenges. Jesus came on earth. There were difficulties that he had to face. And think about the wonderful promises God has in our life. Think about the dreams that God has placed within you, and the dreams that God has for you and me. There will be challenges. How do we react to them is the key to the Christian life. And remember this principle all your life. Every church has problems. But it is not the problems that define the church. It is how we solve the problems that define the church. Every family has its own problems, if they're honest enough with you. Right? They may hide under a facade and say, "Oh, we don't have any problems in our home. We are like Adam and Eve before the fall. We live in the Garden of Eden, minus the serpent, minus the devil." They're bluffing here. It's a lie. And liars burn in hell. There's no such thing. Every family has its own unique problems. So it's not the problems that would matter. It's how the family deals with those problems that make a great family or a family that fail. Everyone in this life have our own individual strengths and weaknesses. We as individuals have our own problems. There is no human being, no man, no woman, no child on this earth who does not have problems within their own life. Whether it be weaknesses, difficulties, physical handicaps. If there are no physical, sometimes it's in the soul. If there are no soul, sometimes it's spiritual realm. If there are none of those three, sometimes it's external circumstances. Every one of us have problems. When we were born again, we were not born into Christianity minus the problems. We were born with new solutions to the same old problems. So everyone has problems. Even the most perfect people, the most idolized, and the most greatest example, have problems. The only difference is how they handle their problems. This world is the same. We all have the same 24 hours. How we handle our time makes us what we are. We all may not have the same mental capacity, but we all have a degree of mental capacity. How we make use of that depends on us. You could blame somebody else and say you were not born with mental capacity. But let me tell you, somebody else with less mental capacity could do better than you somewhere out in the world. And did not blame it as a handicap. If I were born more intelligent, I could do things. Wait a minute. You don't have to have an IQ of 140 to succeed. In fact, they did a research among Mensa, members who have above average IQ. They found that not all of them were successful. Why? Not because. Success does not depend on IQ. In fact, if you just have reasonable intelligence, have you noticed that in most movies, there's a good guy and there's a bad guy. And the bad guy, who is probably an average intelligence, has kidnapped all these brilliant scientists and is using all these brilliant guys for himself. So you don't have to have great mental capacity to succeed in this life. And even if you're born with an IQ of 170, there's no guarantee you will succeed. Plus, there are more things in life than IQ. There's EQ, which is emotional intelligence. One's ability to relate to people and pick up things. Salespeople probably has more EQ. And technicians probably have more IQ. Each are important. You take a technician and you put them in sales, they'll fail miserably. Because they had no idea how to relate to people. So every one of us has limitations. Sometimes it's going to be limitations in the physical world, limitations in the soul realm. But God has given each one of us enough in this life to live your life. The kind of life that He has chosen for you. The will of God written in the books in heaven, all your life, your unique life. He has given each one of us enough capacity to live the life He wants us to live. Not another person's life, but the unique life that He has given to us. So everyone has problems, but it's how they deal with the problems that make them who they are. And as we look at Christian life, it's the same way. And I classify the three areas. First area is it's hard to get this phrase of this point. I get the point, but I'm trying to phrase it nicely. And just for the first try, let's call it dealing with the negative. Dealing with the negative. The negative represents opposition, things that does not support your vision, things that does not support your life. Things that left alone will eat everything up within you, like rats eating cheese. Although I found that rats don't really like cheese. Some of them do, some don't. And foxes digging holes or eating your chicken and your chicken eggs away. And negative, dealing with the negative. Every one of us will have to deal with it. How we deal with it is important. And what we do about it is important. Negative things in this life. Oh. One of the first areas in dealing with the negative things in this life is to realize that